堂听 class.com。
Model Test 8 Part 3 Listening Comprehension Section A
Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said.Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. You're joining us for dinner tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I'm really sorry, but I had the wrong date for my history test. I just found out it's tomorrow, and I need all the time I can get to prepare.
What does the woman imply?
Question 12. I was so tired during class this morning that I fell asleep. Is it okay if I borrow your notes?
Sorry, but I need them to study for the quiz tomorrow.
What does the man mean? Question 13. How many tests do you have this week? I've got 3, and I can hardly take the pressure.
I've just got 2, one on Monday and one on Tuesday, but they're both going to be tough.
What does the man mean?Question 14. How do you like your new job, Michael?
Fine. This week I've been reading the financial reports and studying the books. Next week I will probably start to handle some of the accounts.
What is the man's job?
Question 15. Let's go shopping tonight. They're having a big sale in the shopping mall, so it'll be open until midnight.
I don't think I can make it. I have a big exam tomorrow at 8 a.m. that I need to study for.
Why won't the woman go shopping?Question 16. It's such a nice warm day. I think I'll go out and write my report under the oak tree.
I'd like to join you, but I find it hard to concentrate outside, and I need to finish my paper this afternoon.
What is the woman going to do?
Question 17. Everyone that joins this trip across the Rockies has to contribute towards the cost of supplies.
Are you kidding? I almost went broke over all the equipment I had to buy, and now I can't get funding.
What does the man mean? Question 18. I sold the idea to the bosses by refusing to take no for an answer. It was tough at first, but they finally agreed that it was a good idea.
Yes. I believe the key to salespeople is not accepting your first refusal.
What does the man say about salespeople?
Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Hi, Ken. Over here.
Hi, Jane. Long time no see. What have you been up to lately?
No good, I can assure you. And you?
Much the same. Except I do have some big news.
Come on, the suspense is killing me.
No, really. What have you been doing these past few weeks? The last time I saw you, you were looking for a new job.
Well, that's not exactly true. I was thinking about changing jobs. Luckily, that was all taken care of when they offered me a new position in the accounts department.
A step up in the big business world.
I wouldn't exaggerate, but I'm pleased. I had been hoping to get a promotion for a while, so when it finally came through, I was relieved. Actually, that's why I was looking for a new job. I just didn't want to work there anymore if they weren't going to recognize my efforts.
I hear you. Sometimes you can do your best, and it seems like the others don't know you exist. I hope their money's better.
I got a reasonable raise. Now, enough about me. I'm dying to hear your news.
Hold on now. I'm getting married.
No. You said you'd never get married. I can't believe it.
That was then, and this is now. You've got to meet Andrea. She's great.
Good for you, my friend. That is fantastic. Congratulations.
Thanks, Jane. I'm glad to hear you feel that way. I thought you might be surprised.
Oh, no. I'm so happy for you.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What was Jane doing the last time Ken saw her?
Question 20. What happened that resolved Jane's situation?
Question 21. What else did Jane get with the new job?
Question 22. Why had Ken thought Jane might be surprised to hear about his marriage? Conversation 2.
Good morning. I purchased a computer from your company last month. Unfortunately, I'm not satisfied with my new computer. I'm having a lot of problems.
What seems to be the problem?
I'm having problems with my internet connection.
Did you read the instructions that came with the computer?
Well, yes, but the troubleshooting section was no help.
What happened exactly?
Well, the internet connection doesn't work. I think the modem is broken. I'd like a replacement.
How were you using the computer when you tried to connect to the internet?
I was trying to connect to the internet. What kind of question is that?
I understand you're upset, madam. I'm just trying to understand the problem. I'm afraid it's not our policy to replace computers because of misusage.
I bought this computer with the software preloaded. I haven't touched anything.
We're sorry that you've had a problem with this computer. Could you bring in your computer? I promise you we'll check the settings and get back to you immediately.
Okay, that will work for me.
Is there anything else I need to know about this that I haven't thought to ask?
No. I just like to be able to use my computer to connect to the internet.
We'll do our best to get your computer working as soon as possible.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 23. What exactly was the problem with the computer, according to the woman?
Question 24. What was the woman asking for at first?
Question 25. How is the complaint settled finally?
Section B.
Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
Air travel is such an everyday experience these days. We are not surprised when we read about a politician having talks with the Japanese Prime Minister one day, attending a conference in Australia the following morning, and having to be off at midday to sign a trade agreement in Bangkok. But frequently, long-distance flying can be very tiring. The traveler begins to feel his brain is in one country, his digestion in another, and his powers of concentration nowhere. In short, he hardly knows where he is. The fatigue we normally experience after a long journey is more intensely felt when we fly from east to west, or the other way round, because we cross time zones. Air travel is so quick nowadays that we can leave London after breakfast and be in New York in 8 hours. Yet what really disturbs us most is that when we arrive, it is only lunchtime, but we have already had lunch on the plane and are expecting dinner. Doctors say that since air travelers are in no condition to work after crossing a number of time zones, they should go straight to bed on arrival. Airplane pilots, in fact, whose experience is so obviously relevant that it ought to serve as a guide, often live by their own watches, ignoring local time, and have breakfast at midnight if necessary. The less reason to worry about their health is because they are used to flying and are physically fit.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. Why is it of no surprise to see a man in different countries within days?
Question 27. What will happen to us if we travel across time zones?
Question 28. What advice will a doctor give us when we have crossed several time zones? Passage 2.
Twice a year, all the clocks in the United States are changed by 1 hour. In the spring, clocks are moved ahead an hour. This is called daylight savings time. In the fall, clocks are set back an hour to standard time. People remember how to change their clocks by remembering this saying, spring forward, fall back. It seems Benjamin Franklin was the first person to propose the idea of daylight savings time back in the 1790s. At the time, people thought he was joking. They couldn't believe he was serious. Many years later, during World War I, people realized what an innovative idea he'd had. In the spring and summer, the sun rises earlier. By moving the clock ahead, people can take advantage of the extra daylight and save energy. Energy is an important resource, of course, especially during wartime. The United States operated on daylight savings time during World War I and again during World War II. After that, some parts of the country observed daylight savings time and some didn't. Beginning and ending dates varied from place to place. This confusion ended in 1966, when Congress passed the Uniform Time Act, standardizing the process and making daylight savings time a federal law. Since then, some lawmakers have proposed that the United States go to year-round daylight savings time.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. What is the passage mainly about?
Question 30. What did most people think of Benjamin Franklin's idea for daylight savings time when it was first proposed?
Question 31. What was the effect of the Uniform Time Act of 1966? Passage 3.
While almost every drama major would like to enter the film industry as a cameraman, director, or actor, it is important to realize that the ticket sales of the movie market have been in decline for the later half of the 20th century. In the 1940s, before the spread of television which had a severe impact on the movie industry, weekly attendance rates for theaters were around 80 million. By the 1970s, weekly rates had dipped to a low point of around 12 million. Even when the higher ticket prices are considered, this represented a serious decline in the movie industry. On top of the decline in the overall market, the large studios dropped the majority of their staff and sold many of their properties. In essence, the large-budget movie, filmed by large studios, disappeared in favor of films made by independent producers. While many of the old studio names are still used, the companies are currently more concerned with working strictly in the financial aspects of film production, serving as loan guarantors and financial companies for the independent producers. For drama students today, the opportunities of entering the profession are few. When we calculate the changes and add all the problems of the movie industry together, the bottom line is that drama studies are only for those students who truly enjoy practicing the dramatic arts.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. What is the speaker hoping to convince the students of?
Question 33. What problem did movie makers face by the 1970s?
Question 34. What produced the largest negative impact on the movie industry?
Question 35. What was the result of the studio reorganization?
Section C.
Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
The legal age for drinking alcohol in the United States is 21. Underage drinking is a crime, but also a common part of college social life. There are many alcohol policies at American colleges and universities. These policies differ from school to school. The United States has more than 17 million students in higher education. Each year, 1,700 of them, age 18 to 24, die from alcohol-related road crashes and other injuries. 16,000 more are injured while under the influence of alcohol, and almost 7,000 are attacked by another student who has been drinking. One behavior that college officials are trying to prevent is uncontrolled drinking, having four or five drinks or more in a short period of time. A person can die of alcohol poisoning. At the University of Oklahoma, new policies went into effect after a 19-year-old student died in 2004 after heavy drinking. Now alcohol is banned from all university housing. Other new requirements include an alcohol education program that first-year students take online. The policies govern behavior on campus and off. With the first violation, students pay $75 and their parents are told, and they must take an alcohol education class. For a second strike, they have to pay $150. A third strike means a stop of study for at least one semester. An official at Oklahoma points out that the aim is not just to punish, but to change behavior and the culture at the university.
Now the passage will be read again.
The legal age for drinking alcohol in the United States is 21. Underage drinking is a crime, but also a common part of college social life.
There are many alcohol policies at American colleges and universities. These policies differ from school to school. The United States has more than 17 million students in higher education. Each year, 1,700 of them, age 18 to 24, die from alcohol-related road crashes and other injuries. 16,000 more are injured while under the influence of alcohol. And almost 7,000 are attacked by another student who has been drinking. One behavior that college officials are trying to prevent is uncontrolled drinking, having 4 or 5 drinks or more in a short period of time. A person can die of alcohol poisoning. At the University of Oklahoma, new policies went into effect after a 19-year-old student died in 2004 after heavy drinking. Now alcohol is banned from all university housing. Other new requirements include an alcohol education program that first-year students take online. The policies govern behavior on campus and off. With the first violation, students pay $75 and their parents are told, and they must take an alcohol education class. For a second strike, they have to pay $150. A third strike means a stop of study for at least one semester. An official at Oklahoma points out that the aim is not just to punish, but to change behavior and the culture at the university.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
The legal age for drinking alcohol in the United States is 21. Underage drinking is a crime, but also a common part of college social life. There are many alcohol policies at American colleges and universities. These policies differ from school to school. The United States has more than 17 million students in higher education. Each year, 1,700 of them, age 18 to 24, die from alcohol-related road crashes and other injuries. 16,000 more are injured while under the influence of alcohol, and almost 7,000 are attacked by another student who has been drinking. One behavior that college officials are trying to prevent is uncontrolled drinking, having 4 or 5 drinks or more in a short period of time. A person can die of alcohol poisoning. At the University of Oklahoma, new policies went into effect after a 19-year-old student died in 2004 after heavy drinking. Now alcohol is banned from all university housing. Other new requirements include an alcohol education program that first-year students take online. The policies govern behavior on campus and off. With the first violation, students pay $75 and their parents are told, and they must take an alcohol education class. For a second strike, they have to pay $150. A third strike means a stop of study for at least one semester. An official at Oklahoma points out that the aim is not just to punish, but to change behavior and the culture at the university.
This is the end of listening comprehension.